A dominant second half pushes Auburn to the second round of the NIT. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman, and we are breaking down Auburn's first round NIT victory over South Alabama, 78-67, a game that the Jaguars actually led for exactly half of and for more time than Auburn did, but a huge second half for the Tigers has them prevail. And in what was obviously just a must-win game in the aspect that you accept an NIT bid and you face an in-state foe and you can't lose one like that, survive in advance, regardless of if you're in the NCAA tournament or in the NIT. Make sure you are subscribed to the Barn Podcast Network and hit the like button right here on YouTube if you're watching, or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, wherever that may be. So many updates coming through. Listen, the Barn Baseball Show is going to be a must listen over the next 3 months with the Tigers top five in the nation. Prior to that NIT first round game, a record setting crowd at Plainsman Park for a midweek game when, one, the game's moved up 2 hours and it was still in the mid 40s. And the Tigers put a 9-2 win over number three Georgia Tech. And guess what? Number two Texas comes to town this upcoming weekend following a loss to Tarleton State in the midweek. So a huge opportunity for Auburn baseball to vault even higher into the rankings. And the Barn Podcast Network will have it all broken down with the Barn Baseball Show. Just an exciting time to be at Plainsman Park. So we move over to Neville Arena, where Auburn gets a 9-point win over South Alabama, trailed by 6 at the half, trailed by as many as 11 in the first half, where things just got a little bit hairy. With 2.5 minutes left in the first half, Auburn trailed by 11 to South Alabama. It's 36-25. But Auburn goes on a nice little 5-0 run in those final 2.5 minutes to make it 36-30 at the half, build some confidence going in. And in the second half, my word, the second. So when you look at the half by half shooting percentage, in the first half, boy, it was bad for Auburn. 25% from the field and 19.2% from three. 9 of 36 from the field and 5 of 26 from three. So South Alabama runs, we talked about it in the previous episode, not necessarily about the defense, but the slow, methodical pace that it plays at, and its defensive strategy plays into that. A 2-3 zone pretty much the entire game, and teams are just bombing threes over them, and that's what Auburn did in this game. Unsuccessfully in the first half. Keyshawn Hall was your best player by far in the first half. He scored 16 points, so over half of the 30 that Auburn scored in that first half. But you got nothing from really anybody else. The next leading scorer was Tahai Pettifor with 4. He was 1 of 6 and 0 of 5 from 3. So things were not going well as far as shooting the ball and deciphering that 2-3 zone that South Alabama was running. And for the Jaguars, they were 50% from the field and 55.6% from three, 14 of 28 and 5 of 9 from three in that first half. So you could tell that, okay, if Auburn starts to shoot the ball a little bit better, things are going to swing the other way. And that was certainly the case with Auburn shooting north of 60%, right at 60% from the field, but north of 60% from three, 61.1%. On 11 of 18 shooting from three, 7 of those came from Kevin Overton. He was 7 of 8 from three in that second half after going 0 of 5 in the first half. He sets the Auburn NIT record for most threes in a game. The very first NIT game that Auburn ever played was at Clemson in 1993. Wesley Person, his number's hanging up in the banner, or his number's hanging up on a banner in Neville Arena, by the way. He hit 6 threes in that game. Also scored 28 points in that game, and that stands as a Auburn NIT record as well. So KO gets hot, but that's not even really the guy I want to talk about here in the second half, because it all started with Caden Magwood. What a performance by him in that second half. In 13 minutes of action, he scores 14 points on 4 of 6 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3, gets to the free throw line, hits a nasty and one. It's 3 of 3 from the charity stripe. He dishes out 3 assists and just turns it over one time. And South Alabama figured out that when they put some pressure on him, he started to struggle a little bit. But, I mean, we haven't seen this guy in 2 months, and he comes out and just is firing on all cylinders. It was really, really impressive to watch. And Coach Pearl, after the game, just talked about how he really hung in there. And, you know, he hadn't played since that Texas A&M game when he started the game because Todd Pettiford was late for a breakfast or a meeting or something like that. And they let Magwood start. He turned the ball over 3 times in that first rotation. And he sat down, didn't play again in the regular season or even in the SEC tournament. And then he gets to play here. And the reason he said, Caden has been really good in practice and stayed right and stayed ready. He's making all A's academically. He's been the best scout team player we've had. We wanted to reward that, end quote, from head coach Stephen Pearl following the game against South Alabama. And it showed that he had been obviously working really hard to get back on the floor and just had an incredible outing in that game, especially in the second half. Just provided the spark that Auburn needed. Of course, Kevin Overton is going to get a lot of the love with his 21 points and 7 threes, but I mean, you cannot ignore what Caden Magwood did, especially, like I said, to provide spark. I think it was an 8-0 run by himself in that second half. I'll go look at it because, I mean, it really was a big deal. So it wasn't an 8-0 run, but it was 8 straight points for Magwood. That gets it done for you when you have a guy able just to really get things going like that. Man, it was actually, let's count this up, 3, 5, 7, 8. It was 11 straight points for Caden Magwood in that second half, and that gave Auburn a 7-point lead. That's a huge deal in a game where you trailed going into halftime, and you come out and get that spark. What a great performance by him. And another guy I want to highlight is Elijah Freeman. We've talked about his rebounding and what he's done all season long, quite frankly, because he's had, even when he hasn't had the high rebounding numbers, he's grabbed some important ones. And we'll get to it in a minute. That was especially important in this game without Keyshawn Murphy, who the Tigers will be without for this NIT run. Auburn was much bigger than South Alabama. That's not going to be the case down the stretch with the rest of these matchups that Auburn is to face. Seattle on, or this weekend, whenever we decide, whenever that game is. But Freeman didn't score but 4 points. He was 1 of 6 from the field, 1 of 5 from three, was 1 of 2 from the free throw line. But he ties his career high with 10 rebounds, also dishes out 4 assists and turns it over just once. It's winning basketball. He did it last week against Mississippi State with 10 rebounds. And then he does it again. He does a really good job at getting position and boxing out. There were a couple missed box shots he had, but I mean, as long as he's grabbing 10 rebounds like that, I'm not mad. And another thing is, you look at the second chance points, that's where Auburn really had its success with 17 to South Alabama 6. And I mean, that starts with the offensive rebounding numbers where the Tigers had 13. Four of them came from Sebastian Williams Adams, but it was 6 from Elijah Freeman that really led the charge there. South Alabama had 7 on their own, but Auburn able to kind of dominate on the boards in general with 42 rebounds to South Alabama's 31. Just a huge win in the aspect of, listen, of course, a lot of fans are going to look at this as an exhibition. It showed with the crowd that was in attendance, and I will say that I'm gonna chalk that up more to the fact that it was Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. Hopefully, Auburn gets a much more favorable tip time this weekend that doesn't, one, interfere with Auburn baseball, and two, isn't, you know, leaking into the midnight hours on the west or on the east coast. Hopefully, it's a normal time for the central time zone, and there's a much better crowd. And I would expect that for a weekend game. You win a game in the NIT and. And like I said, hopefully a normal tip time. But just in the aspect of the way the season ended, the reaction from many fans of Auburn even playing in the NIT, you had to win this game, especially against an in-state foe. I mentioned it last episode. You go back to 2019, Alabama lost a one-point game to Norfolk State at home in the NIT first round. You cannot have that happen. And I'm not saying that just because it was Alabama. I'm saying that in general. You go back a decade, and Kentucky lost at Robert Morris as a one seed. It couldn't even host its NIT game because Rupp Arena was occupied for NCAA tournament games. I mean, just wild stuff. And fortunately, Auburn doesn't suffer the same fate and will play another home game this upcoming weekend. But point being is just that this was a critical game, regardless of if you're calling it an exhibition or a consolation tournament, whatever, I don't care. For momentum purposes and just, I mean, strictly the mindset of this staff, of these players, of this program, of this fan base going into the offseason, you had to have it. And look, you're about to face a Seattle team that had a pretty good season in the West Coast Conference, went toe-to-toe with teams like Gonzaga and St. Mary's and Santa Clara, who all three are in the NCAA tournament, almost knocked off Gonzaga. But it's going to be a tougher matchup, and you need to come ready for it. So we look at the keys for that because, like I said, you are not going to have Keyshawn Murphy for the remainder of this. When asked about Keyshawn Murphy and like that, because going into the day, no one really knew kind of what the situation was until really people start to arrive at the arena and see who was on the floor. But Coach Pearl, open quote, on Murphy opting out, not sure why. But listen, we love Murph. We wish him well. Want him to still finish up academically, but we've got nothing but love for Murph. He also said, you know, Murph decided not to play in these games. I'm not sure why. So I just think that it's one of those things that I think there was a lot of love for Keyshawn Murphy. He's an in-state guy. He had some huge moments for Auburn this season. He battled through some injuries as well. So I don't want to forget that he played this entire season dealing with a knee injury that he suffered in the first exhibition game against Oklahoma State. You could tell at one point in the season he had a shoulder injury that was bothering him. I think it was after the Kentucky win when he scored his career high. He had a big old ice pack on that shoulder. So yes, it's unfortunate and disappointing that he decided he didn't want to participate in this tournament. But listen, if you don't want to play, then don't. And that is up to whoever, that is up to those guys to decide that. And fortunately, the rest of the team was ready. And then you had guys like Caden Magwood and Simon Walker, who haven't gotten hardly any playing time over the last couple of months. They get in and play some solid minutes. Walker, 3 points. He made 1-3. It was 4 minutes. It wasn't a ton of action, but it was some action. And then, of course, we talked about Caden Magwood already. So, I mean, that's my point with that is it, lock into the guys that are playing for this team. If they want to hoop, let's support them and really give them the best chance to win, especially with these home games where you're going to face some tougher competition coming up. So we look at that tougher competition that's coming up, and it is Seattle U. What a weird game they played to beat St. Thomas of Minnesota, the Tommies, in their first NCAA Division I postseason action in program history. They fall to Seattle, but in the Red Hawks conference games in the West Coast Conference, according to KenPom, their offense rated out at 102.2. which is good for 298th in the country in conference action. But its defense, 21st in the country, 97.7. And that's going to create a stylistic clash, obviously. Auburn's great offense against the Red Hawks' great defense. The Auburn defense that has obviously been a highlight or a low light for the Tigers this season against what clearly is a poor offense for the Red Hawks. So you're going to have to come out swinging, and you're going to have to set the tone early, I think. You cannot come out and play flat like you did against South Alabama. And quite frankly, like, when you look at – Coach Burrell had a quote about this as well, and just how when you start the game – here it is. He says the start of the game was expected after the disappointment of Selection Sunday. Open quote, let's just be honest, they're not thrilled to be playing in the NIT. All it takes to get past that is a good half of basketball or a win, end quote. And that's what Auburn got. It was a bad first 20 minutes. Auburn finished on a 5-0 run to cut into that deficit that it faced against the Jaguars, and then it came out firing in the second half. It figured out that zone defense that Richie Riley and South Alabama likes to run. It started to make its shots, and you could see the confidence build for Caden Magwood and Kevin Overton. That was important. And then you had guys like Taha Pettiford and Keyshawn Hall. Hall, well, I'll say is most importantly, kept Auburn in the game in the first half with his 16 first half points. He didn't do much in the second half with just one basket and 5 points. But the only way you get to this point of a 9-point victory is with Hall's effort in the first half. And then Pettiford, like I said, he didn't shoot the ball well. But with 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and just 1 turnover, that's fine, especially in limited action because he did get into foul trouble just 23 minutes. So hopefully he gets rested up and he's ready to go for Saturday against a much tougher defense that he's really going to need to be out there for probably 35 minutes against. So I think that this is – I'm not going to say it's a bad matchup for Auburn because I don't think it's that at all. But – you're going to have to figure something out on offense where you go back to that Tennessee game where the Volunteers went on several droughts. I would imagine that might happen on Saturday or Sunday, whenever the heck we play, with Seattle, considering how poor its offense has been. I think you get in a similar situation where Seattle might go on a 5-minute drought or something like that of no scoring. So for Auburn, it's going to be critical to take advantage of that if it does happen and take a lead, expand the lead, and do what you didn't do against Tennessee. Tennessee was able to fight back because Auburn just couldn't quite get a full hold and control on that game. That's why a 20-0 run happened. And right now when you look at it, Seattle 112th overall in KenPom efficiency. And KenPom also gives the Tigers a 88% chance to win that game, 78-65. So about the score that we saw last night against South Alabama. It's going to be hopefully a much better crowd being a weekend. Like I said, I just hope that it's a much more favorable tip time because – one, if it's a night game on Saturday or an afternoon game on Sunday, you're interfering with a top 5 baseball matchup across the street, the highest ranked matchup in Plainsman Park history. Or heaven forbid, you get a super late tip on Saturday or Sunday and you're running the same thing you did last night. Hopefully, you're getting an early one on Saturday or even Sunday that you're able to take advantage of as far as the crowd goes. So we'll have all the coverage from this run in the NIT for Auburn and coming up on Saturday or Sunday against Seattle. One other note that's very important. Auburn makes it 18 victories this season. Now, that is important because now Stephen Pearl passes Joel Eaves in the 1949-50 season for the most wins by a first-year head coach in program history. So no. Bruce Pearl, nor Cliff Ellis, nor Sonny Smith, none of those guys, not even Joel Eaves, recorded 18 wins in their first season as the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. Stephen Pearl did, and I just think that's an important note to move forward with. Regardless of what happens Saturday, regardless of what happens down the road in this NIT tournament, it's frustrating the way things happen, especially when you listen. When I got on social media last night and saw the complaints about the Texas and NC State game, you know, a game between two teams that Auburn beat both of them by multiple possessions, had better metrics than across the board, and both of them got in over Auburn in the NCAA tournament, and the same folks that were complaining about Auburn being on the bubble at all were complaining about that game. It's extremely hypocritical and not shocking from the national media. But you know what? That's how it goes. And hopefully Auburn can kind of go on a run here, and it's not going to completely heal the wound, but it can at least, hey, look, don't complain about Auburn being on the bubble in the future, because it probably deserves to be there. And in this situation, it certainly did. So Auburn against Seattle at a day and time to be determined this weekend, though. It'll be Saturday or Sunday. I would expect that game time and date to be announced right at the conclusion of tonight's NIT games. So really late tonight, post midnight, or early in the morning Thursday. So yeah, make sure you follow at Auburn Men's Basketball on social media. You can go visit auburntigers.com. We'll have Tiger Talk on the Auburn Sports Network, by the way, on Thursday. We'll talk with head coach Stephen Pearl and obviously talk about the upcoming matchup. But it's going to be a heck of a weekend ahead for on the Auburn campus with the NIT and Auburn baseball. So like I said, those tickets are going to be cheap. It's going to be a great way to get inside Neville Arena. It's general admission all the way around. So again, great opportunity if family of four, you can go for $100. That's not ever happening again inside Neville Arena. So take advantage of that opportunity if you can, and if you're close by, and go and support this team that is playing and wants to play for Auburn, that name on the front of their chest. So make sure you're also subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network and hit the like button on YouTube. And like I said, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, as we have so much coverage with Auburn basketball here in the Barn Hoops Podcast, top five Auburn baseball on the Barn Baseball Show, and Auburn football practice got underway yesterday with head coach Alex Golish and his first practice as Auburn head coach Byron Brown out there for the first time as the Auburn quarterback. There's a lot of talk about his throwing motion, and I'm sure that's discussed right here on the Barn Podcast Network throughout our variety of shows about why it's ridiculous that there's even a talk about it from a guy that did something that only, I forget what the number is, but the 3,000, 1,000 passing yards to rushing yards, not many quarterbacks have done that in history. It's a stat that Cam Newton and a few other guys have done. So are we really that worried about a throwing motion in the first practice of spring? We shouldn't be. So make sure you're subscribed for all that content and stay up to date and follow the Barn Podcast Network on social media as well, the Barn _ Auburn. We'll have breakdown of the Auburn-Seattle game following that game, whenever it is, coming up this weekend. Thanks for tuning in. And one more thing. Again, I think it's very important to remember that this team very well could make a deep run to an NIT final, and who knows what kind of momentum, what kind of chemistry that builds. Just, I think it's very important for this team that was 10 brand new guys coming into this year. Who knows who you will bring back for 26-27. And these games can make a world of difference going to next season. So stick in there. We'll talk about it later this weekend. Thanks for tuning into this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.